Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us. Hope you're doing well, and hope you're starting to get warmed up for the fall, you know, or for the spring. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong season. Hope you're starting to get warmed up for the season here, as spring is just around the corner, and that means, for me, that means doing a lot more walking, doing a lot more bicycling, doing a lot of golf, if I can. I love to play golf, and going to spring training, spending time with some of the athletes out there. And one of the players that I've gotten to know over the last couple of years is Eric Stultz. Eric is a player who is a Major League Baseball player, and last year he spent time with the San Diego Padres, and we did this interview with him as he was a Padre, but recently, just very recently, in fact, within the last couple of weeks, he has become an Atlanta Brave, and he's gone from a team, the Padres, which are expected to do very, very well in 2015. They finished third in the National League West last year behind the Giants and the Dodgers, to the Braves, a team that is a perennial contender. Last year, they finished 17 games back of the Washington Nationals, but perhaps Eric can help them, as he has had so much good fortune being a starting pitcher for a number of various teams in the major leagues. And Eric Stultz is a guy that comes out of northern Indiana, comes from, basically an Amish community in Middlebury, Indiana, and also played baseball at a very small college, Bethel College, and yet he is turned out some fine stats. He has done a great job in the past with the teams that he's been on, and now he's going to be a member of the Atlanta Braves. But most importantly, Eric is a solid Christian and a good man to have in the clubhouse, because as any athlete knows, there are a number of players in the clubhouse who can be somewhat of a cancer, and you need some players in the clubhouse that brings strong morality and a strong sense of ethics, and that's kind of what Eric Stultz does. He is a solid Christian man, and I know he'll be very welcome in the Atlanta Braves clubhouse. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to let you hear the interview that we did with Eric Stultz when he was a member of the San Diego Padres. So we'll take a break and be right back. You're listening to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. Welcome. We're back with Face to Face, doing another baseball interview. And our guest today is Eric Stultz. He's the left-handed starting pitcher for the San Diego Padres. Thanks, Eric, for being on Face to Face.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
You seem to have landed with the Padres, doing real well. 9-3 in 2012, 11-13 in 2013. Off to a pretty good start this year. I know you'd probably like a little bit more run support, but you feel like you're becoming a veteran, a leader on this team now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I never really, I always still consider myself, a guy that hasn't been in the league a long time, but I have. I mean, this is my 12th year in professional baseball, and when I look back on it, I guess I got parts of 8 years in the major leagues, but, really the last two and a half years, I've been consistent as far as staying in the big league. So I guess age-wise, I'm considered a veteran.
San Diego, a team that's in transition but seems to be coming around. Got some good ball players, got some young pitchers, got some young players. It's got to feel good to see this team making an upward move.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of struggled there at the beginning. But, this is kind of been, since I've been with the Padres, we've dealt with some injuries, and that's kind of what it was at the start of this year. Chase, our third baseman who we rely on for some big offensive numbers, got hurt. Carlos Quentin was hurt. So guys that were expected to drive in a lot of runs for us that weren't playing. So it's been a little tough offensively, but you know, we've pitched well and we've pulled out some close games, and that we're hovering right around 500. So I think to be in that situation is you know, great for our team.
You have definitely paid your dues to get here, no doubt about that. You were drafted by the Dodgers in 2002, and you had a lot of years in the minors. In fact, I think you had 4 years in Las Vegas, was that right, with the Dodgers?
Yep.
Did you ever get discouraged? Did you ever feel like this isn't going to go anywhere and maybe I need to be doing something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I have probably several times in my throughout my career kind of wondered, you know, should I try something else? But, I mean, I always felt like that I was good enough to make it to the big leagues. You know, I felt like I didn't want to give up on it, and I wanted to keep going. And, you know, obviously God has blessed me far beyond anything I could ever imagine, especially this in the last few years, where most guys that get into their 30s that haven't really established themselves as big leaguers kind of get weeded out. So I kind of thought, well, you know, last few years that this might be my last year. This might be my last year. So, and then, you know, comes to look at things and realize that God had a different plan.
Was there a turning point as far as your pitching career goes? Was there something that you discovered that pitching motion or way you prepared for the games or anything like that that kind of got you over the top?
You know, I don't think there was anything, you know, mechanically or anything that I did different. But, yeah, I think when I was younger and even early on in when I first few years in the big leagues, it was just throw the ball as hard as I can, you know, kind of not really focused on maybe realizing the importance of if I have to take a little bit off of it to hit a spot, that was more important than trying to have a max velocity pitch. So I think for me it's just realizing that changing speeds, hitting spots, no whether if you throw 95 or 85, if you make a quality pitch, generally good things are going to happen.
You were a 15th round draft choice out of Bethel College in Mishawaka, Indiana in 2002. You guys won a national championship in 2002, the National Christian Collegiate Athletic Association. That's a small school, though. Were you scouted pretty heavily? Did you know that there were scouts in the stands?
I mean, I wouldn't say I was scouted heavily, and I wasn't really scouted at all until, you know, going into my senior year, where there's a lot of, you know, college guys come out after their junior year. So, you know, I think the success that we were having that season, you know, we had a lot of good players. So I think, you know, we had some scouts that were following not only me, but other guys that were on our team. So I wouldn't say I was heavily scouted, but I did know there was some interest there, but I didn't know how much interest.
Interestingly enough, another great pitcher has come out of there, Justin Masterson, who's having a pretty good career. Was he on that team with you, or was he a little different?
He was behind me. Yeah, he came in the year after I left. But we had the year after I was drafted, we had two other pitchers drafted. So we had some talent there for a small school, and you know, the coach that was there at the time, he's no longer there, you know, did a good job of recruiting.
Tell me about your high school years, how you did in high school, and what got you to Bethel College.
You know, in high school, I was pretty raw. I mean, I didn't, I guess you could say I had talent, but I didn't really have the mechanics at that point. It was just kind of just throw it as hard as I can. Here it is. Hit it if you can, and if not. I mean, I had good numbers, but, you know, I was very raw coming out of high school. And I didn't get recruited by very many schools to play baseball. When I left high school, I was going to Bethel to play basketball. And at that time, Bethel was a national powerhouse. We were ranked number one in the country. And so I think that my first passion was basketball. And, you know, I had, you know, some ability baseball. So I think that caught the attention of the coaches there. And, you know, it being a Christian school is a big part of it too. I was looking at, you know, Taylor and some of the other Christian schools in Indiana, and you know, I think that played a big part of my decision.
I know that in 2010. Now, in 2010, you'd have been in the organized ball for 8 years, and you had some time with the Dodgers, but you went to the Hiroshima Toyo Carp. What was that experience like?
It was neat. I mean, you know, at that time, I was, you know, baseball, there's all this, you know, guys out of options type of thing. So I was out of options that year, and, you know, the opportunity came to go to Japan, and at that point, I was one of those where, I mean, I might be on the end of my career here. So, you know, financially, it was a big blessing for our family. It was scary, but to go over there, just go into a different culture where you can't communicate, you don't speak the language. You know, taking your family over there is a big leap of faith. And after it was all said and done, it was a huge blessing for our family. We got to actually spend a lot more time playing over there than we do in the States. just because road trips are easier. They went with me everywhere, whereas here, you know, the distance we travel, you know, makes that tough.
Now, you had had some time with the Dodgers previous to that, correct, in the majors?
Yeah, I had had parts of, I guess, about parts of 4 years with them, you know, not full years of service time, I guess, but I had had parts of 4 years before.
And as you say, you still, during those 4 years, you still had options, but you were looking at something different, so you went over to Japan. Mm-hmm. I understand that the Japanese train a little differently. I understand that they're pretty intense in their training. Did you run into that?
You know, I didn't really have to deal with much of that, but yeah, they do. They do things different as far as just their philosophy. They're big into, you know, sometimes quantity is better than quality, whereas over here we maybe back off on the quantity and really focus on the quality. You know, they're very big into respect, and earning respect is by, you know, being the guy that can last the longest type of thing, who has the most endurance type of thing. Whereas, you know, we would look at it and say, hey, that guy's going to get tired, he's going to get hurt. But over there, it was more of, if you do more, you're going to be better off.
Our guest is Eric Stultz. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about Eric personally. So don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Eric Stultz, the left-handed pitcher with the San Diego Padres. Tell us, you went from the Dodgers to the Padres. What teams were in between? Were there any other major league teams in between the time that you got to San Diego?
Yeah, when I came back from Japan in 2011, signed a minor league contract with the Colorado Rockies, and spent most of this year in AAA that season, but got a little bit of time in the big leagues there with them. And then in 2012, same thing, I signed a minor league contract with the Chicago White Sox. They called me up to the big leagues. They designated me, and then the Padres claimed me in May 2012, and I've been with the Padres since.
You are in, and you see a lot of big cities, a lot of crowds, a lot of different people, but I read somewhere where you really enjoy small-town Indiana, and maybe when you retire, you'll end up back in small-town Indiana.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I enjoy seeing the different cities, but, you know, I also enjoy being in places where you don't see anybody, and being from a farm, growing up on a farm in a small community, that's more of my my taste and what I'm looking for once baseball is over.
Could you see yourself being a farmer with a family and a barn and animals?
Oh, absolutely.
And all that?
Absolutely. I mean, I tell my wife all the time that, you know, if baseball were in today, I could farm and just enjoy living that lifestyle.
Let's talk a little bit about what it was like growing up. Did you come from a strong Christian background, strong Christian faith?
Yeah, you know, my parents, you know, had us start going to church at a young age. You know, I think my grandfather, my mom's dad, would always. I think he had an impact on, you know, our whole extended family. You know, when we had Christmas, it wasn't about opening the gifts. You know, he made sure that he got his Bible out and read to us and told us, you know, this is why we celebrate Christmas. It's not for the presents. It's, you know, for the birth of Christ and what he did for us. And so he just had a big impact on our family. And, you know, just we grew up going to church, and he was the deacon at a church, so I think my grandfather really had an impact on just our family and, you know, getting us involved in going to church.
Various people I know have had impact on you as you come along, ball players, but I understand, I'm not sure where I read this, but I understand that when you were in Japan, you were influenced there by the mascot, is that right?
Yeah, he was, you know, in Japan, there's not a lot of Americans. We had an American mascot, of all people.
And what was the mascot, like a giant fish or something?
If you picture the Philly Fanatic, it was pretty much just an identical copy of the Philly Fanatic. But, you know, not only was an American, but he was also a Christian. So I got to meet him, talk to him, and he actually took us to a church service over there. We a Christian church. It was in Japanese. He could translate, so we sat in a back room that was, you know, soundproof, but we could hear what the guy was saying, and he translated for us. So that was a neat experience.
What's Christianity like in Japan? I understand that there aren't a lot of Christians like what we might find here in the United States. What was your experience in the Christian church in Japan?
You know, the Christian church was great. You know, we only got to go one time, but it was neat to just be in a different culture and, you know, kind of see what church was like over there. But, yeah, for the most part, there's a lot of, other religions over there that they practice, Buddhism and
Shintoism.
Shintoism, yeah. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of, the Christian followers or believers in Jesus. So, yeah, that was obviously difficult, but... you know, not only was their mascot a Christian, there was other guys on other teams over there that that were Christians. So that was great, just to know there were other guys that kind of had the same beliefs.
You played for a Christian college, you grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian church. But was there a time when Jesus Christ became very personal to you? Did you have an experience like that?
Yeah, I was saved at a young age. You know, like I said, I grew up going to church. I was saved at 6 years old, but I didn't really understand it at that age. What it truly meant. And, you know, I think growing up in high school, I would say you veered off the path. And it was probably my sophomore year of college at Bethel where it just hit me during chapel one day that, you know, it's more about just saying I know Jesus or I believe that Jesus died for my sins. It's about also developing that relationship and being, you know, the commitment of growing that relationship and fully understanding what Christ did for us. Whereas, you know, early in my life, it was just, I still did what I wanted to do. And yeah, I would say I was a believer and I truly did accept Jesus into my heart at 6, but you know, I didn't understand it until later on in life.
I would imagine that being in the minors all those years and seeing players come and go and all the various travel, all the various temptations that come along, how did Christ kind of keep you stable and strong all those years that you were in the minors?
You know, yeah, I mean, we obviously face a lot of idle time. You know, I think just being away from our families, the struggles of the game, having to deal with ups and downs. And, you know, I think I just come to realize that, you know, without Christ, I couldn't accomplish anything. I couldn't do anything without him. I couldn't get through the tough times. I couldn't get through the good times without Christ. It was nothing that I was doing. It was more about, okay, how can I glorify God? And he got me through a lot of those tough times where, you know, I was ready to give up and be like, you know, I'm done. And God kept, you know, pulling me back, or he would allow me to have some success. And so I think, just realizing that I'm playing for an audience of one and not for other people is something that really became a reality to me.
I know on the Padres team, there are other Christians. Ian Kennedy's been on this show. Chase Headley, I know, has a pretty strong testimony. How important is it on a team like this of basically 25, 26 ball players, how important is it to have friends that understand what you're all about spiritually and are able to support you?
You know, it's great. I think this year we have 5 or 6 pretty strong believers on the team, which, you know.
Seth Smith's here.
Seth's here. Nick Hundley, one of our catchers. So that's great. I mean, we understand the struggles. We can kind of encourage each other. We try to every road trip get a Bible study in, to where we can just get together and fellowship and then get in the Word. And like I said, we know how hard it is for each one of us, so we can relate to each other. We can encourage each other, and that's been a big blessing this year.
How about players on other teams? Of course, baseball's a fraternity. You move around, a lot of free agency, a lot of going from one team to another. You've talked about the different teams that you're on. How much of a relationship can you have, being very competitive, how much of a relationship can you have with players on other teams?
You know, we develop relationships, especially teams in your division where you play a lot, play them several times throughout the year. And, you know, I've played for 2 other teams in our division, so I do know some of those guys. And we also have Bible studies in spring training where all the teams get together one night a week and at different locations, and so we get to know, you know, the believers on the other teams. So, you know, that's nice. And when we play against them, we want to beat them, but we also have that relationship that, you know, we're all kind of pulling for the same thing and we're on Christ's team.
How about the spiritual influence in the clubhouse? There's obviously players on every team that, even though they are in the media, are in the limelight a lot, make a lot of money, but still we know they have a lot of issues. Do you see yourself as someone who can at times be an encourager, step into someone who does not know Christ and may come to know Christ as a result of your relationship with them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've got to constantly remind myself that, you know, it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, the statistics. We're here to make a difference and be a light for the Lord. And I find myself, or trying to find myself, to find opportunities to just maybe lift a guy up, even if it's going and patting him on the back and saying, you know, hang in there. You know, I feel like, you know, just if I can encourage others and, you know, just try to remember also that my actions can have an effect on them. When I have a bad outing, to make sure that I try to keep my actions in check. Try not to, I mean, it's nothing wrong with getting, there's nothing wrong with getting angry, but it's being able, I think, to control that anger and not really show or you know, break something. Or so I try to be consistent with that and be reminded that, you know, hey, I'm out here trying to show others Jesus's love. And I think that, you know, that's way more important than any amount of money I can make or any amount of statistics that come along with baseball.
Eric, I appreciate your time today. I know you got to go play, and appreciate that. Is there a favorite verse that you have that kind of a life verse for you?
Yeah, I like Philippians 4:6, where it just talks about, you know, in this game we have a lot of worries, a lot of stress, and I just try to remember that God's in control, and I try to give Him my worries, give Him my stress, and realize that, you know, without Him, that there's nothing that I'm going to accomplish on my own.
Eric Stultz, thanks for being a part of Face to Face. Good luck, and thank you again for your Christian testimony.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Eric Stultz of the San Diego Padres. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Eric Stultz. I'll tell you what, this year as I go to spring training, I'm looking for some players, and I've got a couple of minor league friends, a couple of guys that I'm going to have the chance to sit down and spend some time with, not just do interviews. One's Matt Pagnozzi, who is an up-and-coming catcher, and he's with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then also my good friend Brent Leach, who I've spent some time with in the past, who played last year for the Milwaukee Brewers AAA club, and this year he's on their 40-man roster. That's the roster that goes to spring training, although he may not make the team. And this year, if he doesn't make the team, he'll not end up in Nashville because the affiliate has been changed now to Colorado Springs. But we're also looking for some other major league players that we can talk to, because we want to share with you the idea that there are a lot of Christian ball players out there, not just minor leaguers, but some fairly well-known Christian athletes, and we're trying our best to line those up so that you can hear them. And we hope that you enjoy the show in doing that. And if you want to know more about Face to Face, want to know more about some of the athletes that we've had on, we invite you to check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com, facetofaceradio.com. And we try to keep that fresh, try to keep up new stories, and also let you know some of the old stories that maybe you haven't seen before. So if you've never been to our website, or if you haven't been there in a long time, check it out. facetofaceradio.com. And we got a couple of new things. One of the things that's up there is an opportunity for you to get a copy of the Lynx Player magazine, put out by it's a golf magazine, and it's Christian. It's the Christian golfers, not just the PGA and the LPGA, but it's the Christian golfers on a number of tours. And of course, there are a number of different golf tours, not only around the country but around the world. And Lynx magazine is there, and you can get a free copy of that. We'll make sure that you get that. And also, there's a couple books up there. Make sure that you get there and check it out, see what some of those books are, and just a variety of things that we have for you, and we hope that you'll enjoy it. Well, once again, that website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we hope that you'll check that out. Well, as we close today, we want to take you to Psalm 119:105, a long psalm. In fact, I think it's the longest psalm in the Bible, longest book in the Bible. But the verse is very short, and it says it all for us. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.